Tuesday, March 13th, 1979, yeah. Talking to Johnny Honey and Ruby. Testing, and, testing.
Tanning a moosekin, and it's just ready to be smoked.
Let's see, I gotta find that pan.
Wait, what kind of? Cash. Bear-proof cash.
Okay, let's see now. How should we start? What we can do is, as you talk about the picture and explain it, Yvonne will record it on the tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll copy it on here.
Oh.
And so then we'll know what
mm-hmm.
explanation goes with which picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
I don't know what picture she...
Oh, let's start with this one right here. Take me a minute to get set up.
There's another one here someplace.
Who's the photographer in all these pictures?
Fleshing. Muskin,
oh,
here.
Yeah.
That's scraping. Big cemetery, Cochrane's. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of those people are all dead.
Mm. We saw a lot of pictures from Cochrane's when we went to
mm-hmm.
Gonzaga
mm-hmm.
with Madeline Sullivan.
Yeah. This one here, I don't have no idea. I sure would. That's a long time ago. My wife knows, but see, I seem to know too.
Yeah, it's a nice photograph too.
That's some old style parkies. She's dressed like old time away and rabbits. Come back from rabbit snares or something. Here's some fish or meat hanging over there on the rack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where. Shovel sticking there. Well, we don't know anything about that picture.
So that one that Kurt has over there?
Mm-hmm.
That's your wife?
Yes, that's Lorraine.
That's the first photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And what year was that one?
It's in, wait a minute now. My daughter was 2 years.
You took three shots?
Yeah.
1964.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. 1964. And this 1964, I guess. 1950, I'd say. But... Oh, yeah, this is a different place, way up the Novi, yeah. That's
where is this at?
That's a 75 miles up the Novi River at our cabin, trapline cabin.
Wow.
Muskin is tanning muskin ready to be smoked.
Gee, so much work.
Oh, yes. But when they know how, it's still is a lot of work. But they're better muskin than the muskins we get that be tanned out in the States. We send skins out, and when they come back, they're not as tanned as good as we tan them. They're too slippery. They don't last long.
They make it too thin?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this one is...
And this one?
That's a 1950. That's about 200 miles up the Novi, putting in the spring there, and she's tanning that moose skin, fleshing it. Yes, I remember that, 1950. I was 1 minute off from winning the Ninana ice pool.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that spring. Just my little boy there.
What's his name?
James Honey, okay. Our brother, adopted boy. He's down the river now.
What was the ice pool worth that year?
$75,000. I used to drink that time. Of course, maybe I wouldn't be alive now if I wanted. We're through with this one, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Number three.
Yeah, this is a dog team we used to use for trapping in 1946. And they were about one of the best teams I ever drove in my life for long distance travel and on a trap line. I used to drive them 75, 80 miles a day, and last 10 miles they would just come running into some villages coming to Cochrane's. No sign of being tired.
Did you race with those dogs?
No. They were just steady, hard-working dogs, good travelers.
So you were running at trap line then?
Yes. They were good for 10 miles an hour all day long. They were not trained for dogs. Trained for races. They were just... didn't want to train them for races because they're used to traveling steady, long distance and used to hard work. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I didn't want to change the diet on them and try to train them for what races there was going on around here. It just didn't pay.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd feed them different food if they're racing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Feed them way different and drive them way different.
Well, what do you feed them for, as work dogs?
Oh, we give them plenty, all they want to eat. Anything we had on hand to feed. We used to find lots of dead caribou along the trail. There was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of caribou up in that country and a lot of wolves. And we used to find caribou a lot of places, kills right along the trail. We used to pick them up and feed them to the dogs, even though a lot of people didn't want us to feed them caribou meat to dogs, what the wolves kill. But we didn't think about rabies those days or anything like that. And it didn't bother our dogs. And we had a lot of fish, always had a lot of fish.
How many miles do you think you put on that winter with those dogs?
I couldn't say right off, but I know I kept track one time and it was a little over 1,300 miles I kept track up till 1st of February.
Gee, what year was that? That you kept track?
1946. And this is
photograph number four.
Yeah. Going back out to spring camp with the dog team in 1950. And my father-in-law. And
what's your father-in-law's name?
Freddie Olin.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And my mother-in-law, Matilda Olin, there's me and Lorraine, oh. Elvie.
So what's your father-in-law doing there?
He died. Nine.
Is that a sled there?
Yes, oh, two dog teams.
Oh, is he on a G-pole?
Uh-huh. I have one out there too. It's on skis.
Uh-huh.
That's the way to keep the sled on the trail. It's easier on the dogs. Mm-hmm.
And she would drive the sled?
Yeah, just stand on back there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Did you used to go out to camp with them a lot?
Yes, I used to go out to spring camp every spring up the Novi. We trapped up there for years, most of our life. Mm. Go up in the fall time with boats. And then come back down in the springtime. come in for Christmas just for a few days.
I'll put in an order over here for you, huh?
Oh, really? Okay, photograph number 5. This is 1956.
That's Owen Hughes, Raymond Paul, with my team. Raymond Paul used to race in Anchorage. He won 2 or 3 races out there and then came to Fairbanks, raced there, and then he went over to Hughes. He didn't do too well in Hughes that time.
Did you go that time? Were you in Hughes?
Yes, that's me right here.
Oh, I see. That's mm-hmm. you in front.
Mm-hmm. That's me in front, and in the back is Raymond, and then his somebody helping.
Uh-huh. So that's Raymond with his back?
Yes.
So?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever race against him?
Hmm?
You ever raced in the same race with him?
No. He's got my dogs there. I'm just helping him.
Oh. Did you lend out your dogs a lot?
No, just to him. And that's the only to him, that's all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that because he was a really good racer and could take care of the dogs?
Yes.
That's kind of a hard thing to lend out your dogs, huh?
Oh, yes. You got to know who you're loaning them to, and different arrangements got to be set up, and lose a lot of dogs mm-hmm. that way.
Oh, this is number 6.
In early days, I was working down below here at a big fish camp, about 28 miles below here. They call it Whisker Creek. I used to come up about once a month. There was about 200 dogs there or more. The man there I was working for had a mail contract, and he was carrying mail for
that?
Dogs, and this is me. And I just come up for overnight and go back for some things. 1930.
Had the contract for mail?
Ben Derrick. His name was Ben Derrick. Then, shortly, a couple of years after that, his airplanes took over, started to carry the mail.
He said there was about 200 dogs there?
Mm-hmm. He had a couple of mail teams, and then he had about 30 more. And besides some boarding dogs we used to have in the summertime, we had about 200. Wintertime must be almost 100 dogs.
Mm-hmm. And you did a lot of work with him?
Oh, yes. I used to take care of the dogs. A lot of work taking care of all them working dogs. Drive dogs once to keep them in shape, and cooking dog feed and helping the mail carriers when they come in with their dogs.
So he hired you to do that?
Yes.
That
$2.50 a day, $2.50 a day.
And that kept you from trapping?
Yes. I didn't know how to trap too well those days, you know. Mm. It was depression days, some days.
How old were you at that time?
Oh, I was born 1911. Okay. This is 1930.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Photograph number 7.
Well, this is our trapline cabin way up the Novi. 1943. during the war, fur was high, a little. We're putting on iron runners there for in April, 1st of April, warm weather. The iron slide easier on the snow. We're all through trapping and ready to come in. There's Benedict Nichols there, he trapped with me that
Which one is?
There's Benedict and this is me.
That's you on the left and Benedict on the right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Who took that photograph?
Lorraine did.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We'll run across her here.
Did she always go out with you?
Yes, every winter, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
When was the last time you went out like that to trap Lancaster?
My daughter was about 2-3 years old. Quite a bane. Mm. Yeah.
Was that because she was
13 years ago. Oh. That's the last time we spent the winter out.
Was that because you'd got other work or because of school?
Yeah, we have to stay in town more on the kind of of her going to school, you see.
Mm-hmm. Did that change lives for a lot of people, school?
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the same.
Number 8.
Aha. This is Lorraine at the same camp. Probably taken at the same day, same time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did she run a line too?
Oh, yeah. She had trapped beaver, skin all the beaver and stretch all the beaver. Really good beaver stretcher. She knows how to work on beaver skin and clean. Stretch them better than, skin them better than we do.
Number 9.
This is after spending all winter up the Novi, this is coming down after breakup, how all of us catch up to one another and spend the evening, camp overnight on the way down. Notice how all the boats are empty with, no, you don't see no dogs. All the dogs are tied up on the bank out of the boat as soon as we land. That's how come you don't see no dogs in the boat. Nothing but canoes. What we put in the lakes there on the side there to go hunting in the evening.
Is that for ratting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
That's 1946, I believe. 46. 1946.
And are these all people from
Cochrane's?
Cochrane's.
Yes. Oh. Sullivan Wright's boat, their first one, and the next one is ours. Got so many boats side by side, and somebody else above there, I don't know who they are, another raft or something way up there.
So what would people do? All go out with dog teams and then...
In the fall, we'll go up in the fall time with boats before freeze up.
Oh,
put all our dogs in. Yeah, for the whole winter supply right in the boat. Dogs, dog food, and our own feed.
Oh.
We used to get about $700-$800 worth of credit in the store for food when we leave.
Which store was that?
Well, the NC company was here. Carl Bone, Stockman, had a store. And then John and May had a store here for a while. And then it was Harold after.
Mm-hmm. Gee, so when everybody would meet and spend the night, did they have games?
And oh, they played... they played blackjack with muskrat skins and oh, a lot of fun.
I've heard about those blackjack games.
Mm-hmm.
You ever play gamble with muskrat skins?
Yeah. Muskrats was only worth 75 cents or a dollar a skin then. Good ones.
So what would people do? They have their muskrats stretched out and put them down just like that?
Oh, yeah.
Number 10.
What was a high bet those days?
Oh, they used to bet 10 or 15 muskrats at one time. This is a cemetery at Cochrane. It says, I couldn't say who they are burying. It's pretty early. That must have been... About 1948. I see some of those people there. A lot of people used to gather when they bury somebody, and then while they're all there, they clean up, all get together and clean up the graveyard, cut all the grass, twigs and little bushes and stuff, clean up all over around the graveyard. They used to do that quite regular. They never waited for Memorial Day. Any time the year they done that in the summertime.
They have a picnic up there?
Yes, they have a big picnic there. And sometimes they sit around and have lunch and tell old time stories. They sit around in groups. It was real good those days. There was not much people drinking like they are now.
So families would all really get together a lot then?
Huh? Yes.
Number 11.
Oh, this is a picture of me and Arthur and Tusky. In 1934, his father is from Tannenau, and his father used to have a mail contract. His father was a very outstanding native person. His name was Arthur Antusky. Basil Antusky, I mean. This is Arthur Antusky. His father's name was Basil Antusky. Very outstanding native.
What kind of things did he do?
He carried mail for years for the NC Company. The NC Company had a mail contract.
Mm-hmm. And what made him outstanding?
Well, he was really honest and people depended on him, and he never been in trouble in his life, and he was a kind of a, what they call a kind of a devoted person, I guess. Mm-hmm. He was well liked no matter by all the white people and all the natives.
Mm-hmm. The number 12.
I spell proof, bear proof.
P-R-O-O-F?
Oh, yes. So simple.
Sometimes words just don't look right.
Cash. C-A-U-C-H, huh? Cash.
How do you spell cash? C-A-C-H-E?
Yeah.
C-H-A-C-H, huh?
Yeah.
C-A-C-H-E.
Frenchman again.
C-A-C-H-E. It's a bear-proof cache up the Novi at our trap line. 1950.
Did you have a lot of troubles with bears up there?
Yes, a lot of people do, but would never be bothered very much. Main thing is to not leave anything in the house that they could smell to draw their attention. Not to leave any fish or anything in the house that they could smell. But sometimes they break in a lot of people's house, even there's nothing, and they break the windows and everything else, and scatter all the cooking utensils all over in the house, smash up stove and everything. Oh, they were terrible. Mm. Where the natives made mistakes was we had sod roofs, mud roofs, and they threw some carcass up on the roof and some mink carcass or maybe little scraps of meat or little beaver meat. They forget to take it off the roof in the springtime when they leave. Little scraps, you know, and that goes into the dirt. And bear gets up there and they smell that and they start to dig down through the roof.
Oh.
Yeah.
How high is that bear-proof cache?
Oh, about 10 feet high. Got four legs there, and it's built out on the edge, so the bear can't climb over on top of it. And the little cache is in the center of it, and there's no way for the bear to get to the cache. No place for him to get a hold to get up there.
Uh-huh. Well, that's real bear-proof then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 13.
Oh, that's... My daughter and I, we used to trap beaver. I can't find those pictures we have now. We trap up the Yuki, and we take pictures of some of these large beaver. They're very big. They don't look big in the picture, but they're really super beaver. I don't know how much one of them will weigh.
What size is the... How many inches?
75 or something like that.
Wow.
Across, you know. We stretch a beaver round, you know, and how we measure them is straight across.
Uh-huh.
And
that's
so...
Valerie?
Yes.
Beaver's almost as big as her.
Yeah. We got some king salmon here, too, is really big, as long as her. This is a really big beaver. That's why we took a picture of it. She wanted to hold a beaver. I think she must be 6 years old. She was not much bigger than that when she set her own beaver snares. She caught beaver too.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she's learned how to do
traps. Oh yeah, she traps quite a bit.
From you.
Yeah, she traps by herself while she was going to school. About 3 years ago, she caught 15 beaver right from here, 15 marten from here, while she was going to school.
You said that she wants to trap for a year after she
Yes, uh-huh. After she gets through high school, she just wants to go out and trap for 1 year. She have a cabin above here, 20 miles, and she have snow machines and the dog team. I don't know what she's going to use, but she wants to trap and for 1 year.
So you don't worry about her because she knows mm-hmm. how to
oh,
take
yeah.
care of herself,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Yes.
Number 14.
Is she different than other girls that way?
Yes, I would say yes. She's interested in... She's very, very, really interested in her future.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And if everything goes all right, I think she'll be in pretty good shape in saying... about another 10 years from now, because if nothing doesn't happen, because we have willed everything over to her, all our land allotments here in town, and we have three parcels of 160 acres each. She owns one.
What is it, do you think she wants to do, say, in the next 10
oh,
years?
Oh, she told me she didn't care to. she wouldn't mind working for wages if she had the right kind of a job she wanted, but she don't want to be tied up with work inside of a house. She said she'd be rather more interested in taking mechanical training. Mm-hmm. Welding, she's taking welding now. Some kind of a mechanic. But not a secretarial job. No job like that where, I guess nobody wouldn't be looking down her neck all the time or something, you know.
Yeah.
She says it's too boring. Yeah.
Boring,
yeah. Too much nice weather outdoors to be held up in the house. And she doesn't like city life. No way. She went to school in Fairbanks and she likes the school there. She liked the people where she stayed and everything, but she just didn't like the city itself.
Really wants to be around Ruby?
Yes, or maybe any place where she could enjoy herself in doing what she wants.
Mm-hmm. So let's see, we're here at this one, number
15. Now, this is when we spent the winter up the Novi, and we don't have no boats to come down. We had to build rafts out of logs, put a tent on it, all our sled and dogs, and come down on the raft that way. We've done it for years.
Mm, is that you?
Yes. My wife sitting there and my sister-in-law right here.
Mm. What's her name, your sister-in-law?
Elvie Burke.
Oh. Hey, and what year is that?
1944, just during war.
Mm-hmm.
Rafting down from way up the Novi, about 200 miles up the Novi.
Mm-hmm. So you have your dogs and everything on top?
Yeah, tied up around there.
Uh-huh. So you take that raft 200 miles down?
Yeah. Go pretty fast, going down the current, through the canyon and everything. We see lots of game all along the way.
When's the last time you heard of somebody who's the last person to raft down the Novi?
Oh, I guess we were. About that time. Maybe a few years after.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that when you were growing up, your family, raft down?
Yeah, we've done this quite a few times when we went up sometime. We had people to bring us up with a boat, and then they come back with the boat. That way we don't have no boat up there when we put in the winter and spring, you know, so we have to make a raft to come back down. Yeah. It was a nice trip, though, taking our time and floating down the river, stop wherever we want.
So did you take this picture?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's mouth of Little Slatna. That's about 200 miles up from by the river.
Oh. What's the furthest you've been up the Novi?
Oh, well, I couldn't say by the river. Long ways up to Moose Mountain. But I didn't come down from there with a raft, though. I came down from there with a boat. That was 1927 and 28. That's about the very first time I ever came down that river.
Mm-hmm. Was that with your parents or by yourself?
No, I was on my own then. I was about 16 years old, 15 or 16 years old.
So you went out on your own when you were how old?
13 years old.
13.
Yes. I didn't have no father and mother, and I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't go to school. I had no place to go to school. I only went to school 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
Right here. Then I went to school 2 winters in Cochrane's from my stepfather. Then he separated from my half-sister. Then I had no place to stay. Came down here and went to school part of the winter, and that was it. Mm-hmm. It was hard in those days to find a place to stay, to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you start out.
I went across the river here with one white man and stay with him and cut wood. I cut 4 foot wood by myself. I got $6 a cord for 4 foot wood.
What year was that?
Well, 1926. Yeah, 1926.
So you're cutting wood for Steamboat?
No, cutting wood for people in town here. Oh. Albert Verhonik. They sell it to in town. Everybody was burning wood. Nobody was burning oil those days. This place took hundreds of cords of wood in the winter time, summertime too. And they had horse teams to haul that wood from across the river. There were a lot of horses here.
It was a big place then, huh?
Yeah, not as big as it used to be in the early days. In the early days here, when I was a pretty small kid, there was 5,000 people here altogether from Long Creek, Poor Man, and all around the surrounding area during the stampede. There were a lot of stores here and saloons, one picture show house, what they were used to call moving picture show. They were silent pictures, I guess, but they were moving picture show. Cost 25 cents or 50 cents to go in there.
Yeah.
Cowboy pictures, oh, it was really exciting.
Number 15.
Oh, yes. This is 1945. This is my wife. In her last race, she won this race. My 7-mile race right here in Ruby. She used to drive dogs an awful lot. And that's about one of the last times she ever drove dogs, I think.
She quit?
Oh, she got a little too heavy, and then we were beginning to have faster dogs. These were not really the fast dogs like we have now.
Mm-hmm. How come the dogs are faster now?
Oh, more training and more taking care of more for racing. These are all work dogs.
Number 16.
Well, I don't know how this picture got in there. This is, I don't know who this is, kid. That's me and my cousin, my niece, I mean. And this is James, our adopted boy.
Oh. What's and your niece's
I don't
name?
Even... What?
Your niece's name?
Jenny Silas. Oh. I don't even know what year that is. Must be about 20 years ago.
Number 16.
That's my That's in the boat we were flooded out at our winter camp. In the spring breakup. There's small some place, but where we had a boat in front of the house.
Oh, that's the one you tied the boat onto the cabin?
Yeah.
Well, what year was that flood?
My daughter was 2 years old. She could have been about 14. About 15 years ago. 1964. Stay in the boat for 1 week there.
You just live out of that boat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We had a cab, that cabin was all flooded.
Mm-hmm, yes. Uh-huh. Cabin out there on the bank, and we just moved this boat back in the woods a little ways where the ice wouldn't hit us. We have a stove in there and out in here. We had another little boat out here we sleep in. I don't know what's in that drum back there. Can't figure that out. We didn't have no drum of gas.
You didn't use kickers?
Yeah, we had a kicker there, 20 horses around there someplace.
This must be the same time right here.
Oh, this is coming down in the springtime, yeah, after breakup.
Well, that's not the same year, though. That's a different year.
I think it's same year.
Did you make your boats?
Yes.
How many boats you figure you've made?
Boats? Oh, I only made 2 boats, that's all. I'm not a boat builder, you know. I just made small boats. I have a friend of mine build a boat for me in Galena. Sidney Huntington built a boat when I want a boat to work with. I could never build a boat like he does.
How does he get to be such a good boat builder?
Well, he's, I don't know, just a natural born carpenter he is. Person without any schooling hardly at all and can do anything, no matter what.
What about this one?
Oh, that's my winter camp in 1964.
This is number 18.
Yeah, that's my daughter there. Some of our fur, we had a lot of fur, but that's just some of them. There's some marten skin, lynx skin, and then there's an otter skin back there, and I think there's a fox skin by it or something. My daughter got some fur too. She wanted to pack some fur. She got a couple of weasel skins there. Yes. Those were the days. That was the only life for me, was being out trapping, being out in the hills. Always looking around, hunting, trapping. The only thing I didn't like about it, if we happened to get 45 and 50 blue weather, even then I used to go out.
Do you remember any time that bothered you?
No, no. No cold weather bothered us at no time. We were used to it.
You had to be more careful.
Yes. We didn't walk or run or anything like that when we were on snowshoes. In the early days, there was a lot of young people froze their lungs and running and walking on snowshoes. The natives didn't know any better.
They just run at any temperature.
Yes. Freeze their lungs. There was an awful lot of people died with TB when they had no control of it then. Lots of them. Even my relatives, some of my relatives died with TB.
Number 19.
Oh, this is my first fish camp up here, 12 miles. My boy owns that camp now. He have a land allotment there. That's me cutting fish on the beach, cutting dogfish. We were not selling fish then, those days. Maybe only dried fish, and maybe sold a few strips and eating fish.
You sell fish now?
Yes. We have commercial license. We can sell fish anytime. Mm-hmm. We can fish whole year round if we want to. So far, anyway.
Yeah. Where would you sell your fish summertime?
Sell them to local fish buyers that comes and pick them up, or we take them to Galena.